Well, I've got two texts for you today. There's actually one text. It comes from Isaiah. And Paul quotes it in Romans. Now, I'm not going to tell you the text. I will tell you, of course, but we'll see if you can guess it. Okay. What I want to do today is something I've never done before. I want to talk to you about my feet. But then I'm going to move from my feet to your feet. I'm going to talk to you about your feet for a few minutes. Anybody got the text yet? No, okay.
Isaiah 62?
No. You might be meaning the right text, but you've got the wrong chapter.
How beautiful.
Ah, there you are, you see. Right.
Well, that's the only faint text I know.
No, there's another one in Ephesians 6. Feet shod with the gospel preparation.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to talk to you about my feet. Now, actually, I'm going to give you three opinions about my feet. The first opinion is mine. I'm very glad that my feet are stuck in socks and wrapped up in these boots, because I'm rather ashamed of them. And they've caused me a fair bit of trouble. I've done a fair bit of walking in my time in the hills, but I've found increasingly for many years now that my feet are causing me trouble and I can't walk so far, especially coming down. So I got a pretty low opinion of my feet. But actually, a few years back, I did stick them in front of a chiropodist. I don't know if they're still called that. And she said they were very good. So I don't know how bad some people's feet must be. So there's two opinions. But I've got a third opinion. And it's the text in Isaiah 52, verse 7, and Romans 10, and verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace.
Yeah. They bring good tidings, it says.
Good tidings, well, yeah. On the mountains, there's all sorts of other versions. And if you go back to Isaiah, you get a fuller text. But the main point is that God says that he regards the feet of them that preach the gospel. He calls them beautiful. Now, of course, that depends on whether I preach the gospel. The feet of those who don't preach the gospel, don't preach it, and it's not the gospel that they preach, well, that's a very different matter. But, this is what God says about a man. Now, by extension, he says it about every believer who preaches the gospel. That's you, if you're a believer. Well, it's a meeting for believers, a prayer meeting. So, being a believer, I can say to you that in God's eyes, you should be, you are regarded as a preacher. What do you mean? I don't preach sermons in a church, I don't go in a pulpit. Who's talking about pulpits? We're talking about the New Testament, the New Covenant view of preaching. And preaching is publishing, declaring, telling the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news. And if you're a believer, the moment you believe, you are a minister, a preacher, a servant, even a priest of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're all preachers if we're believers. And this is what God says about us. It's a remarkable text, isn't it? Wonderful text. He says, I look upon the feet of those that preach the gospel, the good news, I call them beautiful. Now, it comes from Isaiah. And the picture, you all know the picture. You know, in the olden days, back in the days of David and so on, when they had battles and what have you, they didn't have mobile phones and all these smart things and internets and emails and Skypes and all that kind of thing. So how would they get the news back? Well, they had runners. And these men would run across the mountains to take the message back to Jerusalem or wherever and say, it's peace. It's peace. So that's the picture in Isaiah 52. The messengers are running over the mountains, going back to Jerusalem where it is wherever it is, and saying, it's peace. It's peace. And Isaiah says, or God says through Isaiah, that how beautiful are the feet. How wonderful to hear this news of peace. These men running across the mountains, bringing peace to us. And Paul takes it up in a very important passage in Romans 10 on the preaching of the gospel, and he uses that text and he quotes it and he drives it home to make his point preachers are sent by God, believers are sent by God to take the message of the gospel to sinners. If you were here Sunday morning, we thought about tetelestai, it is finished, it's accomplished. The gospel of peace, wonderful thing to take to sinners and tell them that there's peace made between God and men. Between them and God if they'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just a little more thought. I wonder why God talks about the feet. Doesn't a man or a woman, when they speak the gospel, use their voice? Well, I'm trying to use mine. Shouldn't we use our voice to the biggest power and the best ability that we've got? Shouldn't we choose the best words and be as passionate and warm as we can be? Of course we should. When Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 that he didn't use eloquent words, it doesn't mean he spoke in a kind of mumble, droning like a bee in a bottle. He meant he wasn't using the Greek philosophy, their rhetoric, their schemes, their posh ideas. He was preaching the simple, plain gospel of Christ as powerfully as he could. Why does God then not say, how blessed, how wonderful, how beautiful the voice of the preacher? Well, there'd be a tremendous risk there, wouldn't there? God uses a man, but we must never give the praise to the man. How about his mind? He's got to use his mind, hasn't he? He's got to use his actions. But God just picks on the old humble feet. And I think he's saying to us, I really take pleasure when my people spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm not going to give my praise to the tool. It's God who does the work. But it's a privilege, brother and sister. It's a privilege to be one who can witness in any way for the Lord Jesus Christ. How blessed, how beautiful, yeah, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Now, I could have chosen a hymn by Isaac Watts. He wrote a hymn on that passage. But I've selected another one by somebody that you will know very well. If I tell you the lady's name, perhaps you can tell me the hymn. Not you, Bill, because you know what the hymn is. But Frances Ridley Havergal.
Take my feet.
Ah, there you are. Take my feet. Yeah. And let be beautiful. Swift and beautiful for thee. Okay, now if you'd like just to look at that, that's on that's number 582. I've got something to say about it. 582 is Take My Life, of course, and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. You know the hymn. But we sing it time and again, but perhaps you've never noticed it, perhaps I've never noticed it before. Verse 2, take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. How about verse 3, take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Now she was a preacher. She preached the gospel, though she was a woman. Look at the hymn number 580, just across the page, 580. If you want to see how to preach the gospel, listen to her. Look at 580, look at her words. Thy life was given for me, thy blood, O Lord, was shed, that I might ransomed be and quickened from the dead. Don't you think she's preaching the gospel there? How about verse 4? Lord, thou, Lord, hast borne for me more than my tongue can tell, a bitterest agony to rescue me from hell. Don't you think she's preaching the gospel there? How about verse 5? And thou hast brought to me down from thy home above salvation full and free, thy pardon and thy love. Now, I don't know whether she wrote 582 after or before 580, I don't know. But I can tell you, when she was praying in verse 2 of 582, take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee, God answered her prayer. He did, because she said, let my lips always be filled with messages from thee. And she's done it time and again. Now then, brother and sister, how about you and how about me? Huh? Do you want beautiful feet? You want God to say that about you? Yeah. Preach the gospel in some way or another. 582, should we sing that?